Join me on Facebook, J. Bruce Sophia - Hijack Life. Love for you to follow, be a part, engage, comment, and let's conquer the world for Christ together.
Welcome to Change by the Word. I'm your host, Blaine Booth, and you're listening to Dr. Bruce Sophia of the Gloucester County Community Church in Washington Township, New Jersey.
Just to bring you up to date, we're in working through the book of Genesis. We're in Genesis chapter 24, and the theme of this chapter is the marriage of Isaac to Rebekah.
It's a never-changing truth in an ever-changing world. Now I'm changed by the word. Your cross gives me worth. Your way is flawless, always there for us.
Today on Change by the Word, we continue our study of chapter 24 in the book of Genesis. We are of this world, but not of it, right? So today we'll discuss how we should act as Christians.
Yes, Blaine, just if you don't mind, let's take a moment and recap.
Sure.
So our theme in this chapter is the marriage of Isaac to Rebekah.
Yep.
Our focus has been on Abraham's chief servant, Eliezer. And I have to tell you, he had to be a pretty special man.
I would think so, yeah.
Interesting, we don't know if he has a wife.
Yeah, it's not written.
Because it's not mentioned, or if he had children. We saw two key points by which Eliezer discerned the will of God. First was he listened to his master, because that was his God-given authority.
Right.
Something we don't see a lot of today.
Not a whole lot.
No. And secondly, he prayed specifically.
Yes.
Now, two things Eliezer did not have to pray about. From where he was to find Isaac's wife, and Isaac was not to go to the place where Eliezer found the wife. He was to remain in the promised land.
That's right.
So he was to find a wife from where it was Isaac or Abraham had come, but he wasn't to stay there.
Right.
He was to return to the promised land. Now, we took a little detour and we shared 10 areas that you don't have to pray about.
Oh, interesting.
Rather than what we have to pray about. We finished 8 of them. They were marriage and dating. The Bible's specific. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. So, you know, we don't have to pray about that. We know. Reading your Bible, Joshua 1:8, meditate on it day and night. Praying, Luke 18:1. At all times, we ought to always pray and not lose heart. For attending church, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. So there's things we don't have to pray about because God has been specific.
Yep.
Number 5 was tithing. This you ought to do. Plus, show justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You know, people who argue against the tithe obviously didn't read Matthew 23:23. Jesus is pretty clear. He says this is what you ought to do. And by the way, we've discussed this many times on this broadcast. It's the key factor to financial blessing without sorrow.
Absolutely.
You know, and we've always said it's WTBG, radio station WTBG. Working, budgeting, tithing, giving, you know, WTBG, work, tithe, budget, and give to the right place.
Right.
You don't have to pray about getting baptized. Repent and be baptized. You don't have to pray about premarital sex. Corinthians 6:18, flee fornication. You don't have to pray about having an affair, committing adultery. Exodus 20, Romans 13, thou shalt not, right?
Right.
You don't have to pray about habits that control you. Matthew 28:23, verse 8 says we are to have one master. Right?
Yep.
So the certain things we don't have to pray about.
That's right.
God has made it clear. Now, what happens when you fail? You know, you just can't let Satan immobilize you. And I see that happen all the time.
Yep.
Particularly with people who struggle with heroin addictions. You know, we have them at the church. They do good. They're 30 days clean, 40 days clean, 60 days clean, and boom, they're done.
Just takes one trip up.
Yeah. Yep. And Satan wants them to think, how could you be a Christian? Look, you failed. What's the sense of getting up again? You're going to do the same thing all over again. And I encourage believers, Proverbs 24:16a, a righteous man falls seven times and rises again. Mm-hmm. Habit or no habit, still God still calls you to read, pray, worship, witness, whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Some people may say, oh, that's hypocritical. No, it isn't.
No.
He's told us to do that, period, whether we're on our face, looking down, on our feet, looking up.
Right.
Exactly. Right?
Yep.
Which brings us to the last two, which we did not cover.
9 and 10.
9 and 10. Number 9, certain places one goes. Mm. You don't always have to pray about those. Proverbs 22:3, the prudent man sees evil and hides himself, but the naive go on and suffer punishment. Mm. So we know. You know, I remember a young man who attended this church. Blaine served the Lord, began to backslide, began to return to his old sins, started hanging out at bars. And he would say, I don't see anything wrong with having a cigarette and a few beers at a bar. My answer was, you know what? Nothing in itself is sin.
Right.
It's either sacred or profane. I know that tobacco and beer is not a sin in itself. But my question to you is, what are you accomplishing for Christ sitting at the bar smoking and drinking beer? How is that affecting your testimony? And his answer was, well, Christ mixed with publicans and sinners. And my answer was, yes. But the record is that he was not in their midst, but he was in their midst, but he was not of their midst. Mm. In fact, the record states that he brought sinners to repentance. So my question to you is, while you're sitting at the bar smoking and drinking beer, who have you brought to repentance?
Right. Or even share the gospel, plant
a
seed. Yeah.
You know, so the point is that we place ourselves in the world in the midst of sinners to change them, not to be changed by them.
Right.
And I address parents in this on training up children in the way that they should go.
That's right.
In Matthew 10, we looked at the prodigal son. The father had done his job right. And there are times when we have children and we've done our job right, and don't let Satan tell you you haven't, and they're just not done their education yet.
Yeah, that's
and,
me.
And you got to let them go.
Yeah.
And it, like the father did the prodigal, hey, you know, we would say, you're not getting any money because I know you're going to squander it.
Right.
When you're right with God, then I'll write you in my will, or I'll word this will in such a way you're not going to blow it.
Right.
But this prodigal, this father, which is all about, really, it's not about the prodigal, it's about the father. He says to the son, go ahead, here's your money, because he knew he would never learn what God wanted to teach him any other way. And it wasn't until he was broke, spent all his money on stupidity,
yep,
that he came to his senses.
One horse will train
up. Then he came home.
That's right. One horse will train up in 12 hours flat, and the other one will take it 24 years.
Yeah.
It's just a different person.
It's like I met this girl last night at the Rising Recovery Unplugged.
Coffee house, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
What a marvelous night.
Oh, we had a wonderful time.
Yeah. And this girl had given her life to Christ 2 years ago at the church. And Glenn had introduced me to her, Glenn Hillier. And she doesn't live here, but she was visiting, gave her life to Christ. She says, yeah, I'm doing good. It's really a slow process. And it reminded me of what Vernon Price, who has since gone to glory, one of our assistant pastors, said. He said, well, you know, you can grow a cabbage in the summer, but it takes a lifetime to grow an oak.
That's right.
So take your pick.
Right.
You want to be a flash in the pan, or you want God to mature you slowly, get you to where he wants you to be, and be that oak that ultimately is or should be our goal. So we talk about really the personalization of the lessons we learn from Eliezer in the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah in this particular sermon. We got one more to go.
Let's continue our study series in the book of Genesis. Here's our teacher, Bruce Sophia.
Just to bring you up to date, we're in working through the book of Genesis. We're in Genesis chapter 24, and the theme of this chapter is the marriage of Isaac to Rebekah. The marriage of Isaac. But we have chosen to focus on Eliezer, who is Abraham's chief servant's quest for finding Isaac a wife. And have entitled this series, actually it will be three parts, we're on part two this morning, Lord, How Do I Know? Discerning the Will of the Lord. And we saw two key points by which Eliezer discerned the will of God. The first was that he listened to his master. He listened to his master. And in this chapter, there are four definitive types. And Abraham is one of them. And Abraham represents or is a type of the father. Isaac is a type of the son in this chapter. Eliezer, the servant, is a type of the Holy Spirit. And Rebekah is a type of the bride of Christ. But in this chapter, Abraham is the father image. And I want you to notice that Eliezer listened to the father. That was our first point. Secondly, he prayed specifically, and we were going to cover that today, but we're not going to make it. We're still going to deal with the fact that he listened to his master. And there are two things we mentioned last week that Eliezer did not have to pray about. You ever hear somebody say, well, I've got to pray about that first, and then I'll tell you whether or not I can do it or not do it. Well, there were two things Eliezer did not have to pray about. He did not have to pray about where he was to find the wife for Isaac. Why? Because Abraham had already told him. The father had made it specific and clear where he was to find that wife for his son Isaac. And secondly, Abraham told him that you must not take Isaac to the wife. You must bring the wife to Isaac. And the reason for that was Isaac was to inherit the promised land, and Abraham was already in the promised land, and he was to remain there to subdue it and have dominion over it, because that was God's promise to Abraham. Two things. He didn't have to pray about it. So I shared with you 10 areas, and we finished 8, and we'll complete the last two this morning. 10 areas that you do not have to pray about. I mean, you just don't have to pray about it. And you don't have to pray about it because the Lord has said it. Do you remember when Moses was at the Red Sea and he had prayed and asked the Lord for deliverance, and the Lord told him what he was going to do. Told him how to do it, and they were going to walk across that Red Sea. And what did he do? The Lord told him he was going to deliver him. He turned around and kept praying. And the Lord says, Moses, don't pray. I already told you what I'm going to do. Get up and do it. You don't have to pray any longer. I've already given you victory. You can walk across that sea. So there are areas that God has spoken clearly that we don't need to pray about. And the first, now you say, oh, we're going to have a brief review. Yes, we are. And if you go to Bible school, you have a class called homiletics. It's how to prepare a sermon. Now, one thing they tell you not to do is review. That's what they tell you. Well, I don't always follow homiletics. Most of what comes out of our cemeteries today isn't worth listening to any. I mean, seminaries aren't worth listening to anyway. They don't even believe the book's the Word of God. I don't even know why they're in the pulpit. But that's like telling a basketball player whose best shot is just to the right of the foul line on the circle. You know what? He practices that shot till he can do it blindfold. I mean, any time he picks up the ball on that court, he can put it in. Why? It's become a part of his life. And the Lord said that that's what we're to do with the Word of God. So it doesn't hurt this morning for me to take about 7 minutes and just review what we covered, because I'd like to see every one of you just put it in your life to where you don't even have to think about it. I mean, it just comes instantly, like tying your shoes or buttoning your shirt or brushing your teeth. Think, if you had to learn that every time you did it, you'd be exhausted by 10 o'clock in the morning, be ready to go to bed. Well, there's certain scriptural principles. Did you get to bed late? Oh, all right. Having fun with the band back here. Anyway, certain scriptural principles should be a part of our life. The first eight. Number one, marriage and dating. 2 Corinthians 6:14 makes it clear, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. That's a principle. You don't have to pray about it. God's made it clear. He said, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Now, I took some time to explain this, and let me just say this. God doesn't lay anything on His people that aren't for their best. God doesn't say to young people today and to people who are seeking marriage, don't be yoked together with unbelievers, so He's laying a weight on you. He's doing it because He genuinely loves you, and He knows what's best, and He's trying to spare you from a lot of headache and pain. An emotional and mental pain. Secondly, reading your Bible. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate on it day and night. You don't have to pray about whether you should read your Bible this morning. God says, meditate on it day and night. You don't have to pray about whether you should pray today. Because Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, at all times, we ought to pray and not lose heart. In other words, he's saying you may not get your answer the way you want it the day you pray it. I've heard it. Don't lose heart. You ought always to pray. Your answer's on the way, but I'm going to give it to you at the best time. Fourthly, attending church. Hebrews 10:42 says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. You don't have to pray about, well, should I go to church this morning? I went to bed at 12:15 after watching the Miss America contest, and Miss New Jersey almost made it. Yeah, you don't have to pray about whether or not you should go to church. God said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. He made it clear. And then He tells you why. He says, because the assembling of yourselves together does two things. It provokes you, or the New International Version uses the word spur. Do you remember the old cowboy movies? You don't see them anymore. But they had those $125 boots with these $75 spurs on the back that were silver that they used to jam in the horse to make him go. Well, I'm making people sick out there. Anyway, he says, it spurs us on to good deeds and to love one another. And what is God? Love. And what did he say? He said, let men see your good deeds that they might glorify my Father in heaven. And recently, there was a family who was visited, and they expressed that they needed to back off from worship. They felt like the Lord wanted them to back off from worship. Well, you know that's not of God. Now, maybe where you're supposed to worship, that's prayable, but not that you should back off from worship. Because God has commanded that we forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. The fifth point that you don't have to pray about is whether you should tithe. Tithe is a tenth of your income. Jesus said, some people say that's not New Testament. Jesus said, this you ought to do. Period. Plus, you must show justice and mercy and faithfulness. In other words, you can obey the letter of the law, but I want you to go a little further. I want you to obey the spirit of the law, which is justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And I might say that this church has advanced because people have put within their lives the principle of tithing. And God therefore has blessed them. You cannot be blessed financially as a believer and not tithe. That is the key to financial blessing. I'm not talking about accumulating great masses. I'm talking about with what God gives you, He blesses you with it. You cannot. It's just His principle. It's where we're obedient, He blesses. And this church, people have learned that principle. God has blessed them individually and blessed this church. You know that last Sunday, this church deposited over $3,000 on Monday. Now that is unbelievable for, well, it's no longer a handful of people. But, you know, some churches don't deposit that in a month that have been in existence 40 years and have stone buildings worth $1 million and nobody in it because they don't preach the Word of God. But it's a key to financial blessing. And I didn't say this last week, but I am going to say it this week. There are four reasons why people have financial difficulty. Four reasons. Write it down. The first one is they don't work, Proverbs 6. That's the first reason why you're going to have financial difficulties. You don't work, Proverbs chapter 6. The second reason is they don't tithe, Malachi 3, 10 and 11, and the New Testament, Matthew 23, 23, Hebrews 7, and so forth. Thirdly, they don't budget. They spend money foolishly. They spend money they don't have for things that they think they're going to have for money for tomorrow. Presume. They don't budget. Proverbs 27. And fourthly, they give the wrong place. Malachi 3:10 tells you where to give. They give to the wrong place. And see, that's how God, if He withholds your blessing, He makes you give to the right place. It's His way of directing you. Let's go. Number six. And that is you don't have to pray about whether you should be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, it says, repent and be baptized. Number seven, you don't have to pray about premarital sex. Singles. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. You don't have to pray about having an affair. Married people. In good old-fashioned Bible language, that's called adultery. Today, we call it having an affair. Boy, how we like to soften things. And don't think that that beautiful little Christian lady that the Lord brought into your life that's all of a sudden concerned about your needs and prays with you may possibly be the direction God wants you to go because she's Delilah. Exodus 20 verse 14 says, thou shalt not. Romans 13:9 says, thou shalt not. And number 8, habits that control you. You don't have to pray about habits that control you.
Are you struggling to read your Bible each day? Looking for some inspiration? Well, we have a printed resource that will help you with your daily Bible reading. It's our gift when you call 1-800-CHANGED. Just ask for the Word for You Today devotional. The number again is 1-800-242-6433. You can also get a free copy when visiting the website, cbtw.org. That's cbtw.org. While you are there, you will find other resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ, including archived radio programs, our Changed by the Word television program, all on demand. Changed by the Word is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support enable us to share the good news of Jesus Christ all around the world. We constantly hear from those listening, not only here on WFIL, but from nations like Nigeria, Singapore, and the Philippines, just to mention a few. That only happens through the sacrificial gifts of our Change by the Word partners. Those of you who have been blessed by Change by the Word and believe its message is worth sharing in other cities and countries, consider partnering financially with us. Go to www.cbtw.org and click on the Support CBTW icon in the top toolbar, or call us at 1-800-CHANGED. That's 1-800-242-6433, and join our Good Samaritan team. Join us tomorrow right here at Change by the Word, the never-changing truth in an ever-changing world.
side.